Howdy-do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, May the 5th, 2020. Happy Cinco de Mayo to everybody who's into that sort of thing. I'd like to thank both of my panelists in advance for being here today. Brian, howdy-do.
Hello, Kelly. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
And also with me, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me. Fun. It's good to be here. It's been a while since it's been the three of us here. So I like
it. It is.
It has been. We're here reuniting virtually for, I think, the last time we were reunited in person. And that's WWDC.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
We just, like maybe half an hour ago, got the announcement that WWDC 2020 is going to, I don't know if it's going to be June 22nd or
start June 22nd.
Okay. And it's a, as we said before, it will be a virtual conference. And that means everything's going to be online. And there's an interesting thing that they're doing where students can join the Swift Student Challenge, where they build their own Swift playground. And if you, this was the part to me that was sort of interesting, if the people who sort of win at that will get a WWDC 20 jacket and pin set, which means they were already that far into the process before everything had to go online. So you can still get one of those jackets, apparently, if you have some way to do that. Dave, as a person who I know has to make these plans every year, what do you think?
Yeah, I had to cancel my speculatively booked hotel rooms a while back because that's what I do. Yeah, it's, I mean, this is the world we live in. It's not, WWDC is not even close to the first event that I would have attended in person, but could not. I know the first one was South by Southwest. That happened really early on in retrospect here. But there have been a couple of like press junkets that I didn't know about until after I was pulled into like virtual, you know, Zoom meetings or something where it's like, oh yeah, we're sorry that we're not doing this in New York. And it was like, oh, that's cool. Like there was one where I was supposed to be hanging out with Tom York and that didn't happen. It was like, oh, that kind of sucks. I mean, I didn't know about it until after the fact. And then I sort of intuited it all. I was like, oh, wait a minute. That sucks. But so this is I refuse to call it the new normal. So I'll call it the new abnormal.
Yeah,
but it is where we are, and it makes sense. And I've seen some really, in fact, I'll talk about it tomorrow. But yesterday I did a very cool online presentation for an upcoming launch that was really well done on the web. I mean, it included it was like one. Not infinitely, but very long scrolling page. And as you kind of got to each new section, there was like a quote from some product manager, like an audio quote from some product manager that was, you know, a little snippet, maybe, you know, 20 seconds at most, sort of telling you about the thing that they were sort of rolling out. The whole thing started with a video. It was really, really well done. And it, you know, when they told me about it, it was like, oh, I'm not going to spend 20 minutes looking at this. This is stupid. I'll just read the press release, like whatever. And 25 minutes later, I was like, that was amazing. It was valuable too, but it was something that really captivated me. So I bring that up not to be a tease, although I realize I was, but to sort of set the stage for what Apple could do, you know, like they've had a lot more time than many companies have had to rejigger their plans. And it doesn't mean, like you said, it doesn't mean that they hadn't started planning to be in person. They obviously had, but yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what Apple does. They're an excellent company with marketing. They know how to captivate people's attention and love and interest and all of that stuff. So I think we're going to you know, this is necessity is the mother of invention, right? And we're seeing the fruits of that here as we get deeper and deeper into this quarantining thing. And I think even as we're able to kind of go back outside in our hometowns and that sort of thing, we're not going to be having multi-thousand person events at any time during, I don't think during the year 2020. I think those are maybe a New Year's Eve thing, maybe, but certainly not this summer, you know? So we're going to see more of this, and I'm kind of excited by the opportunity that it brings up. So there you mm-hmm. go. Yeah.
Well, one thing we can say about Apple is they're creative. Like whenever we've talked about their solution to something in particular, it's always kind of been a creative solution. So I'm very interested in what shape their online conference takes. How about you, Brian?
The things I find most interesting about this are much more sort of 10,000, maybe 20,000 foot view kind of things. For one thing, what WWDC has become in recent years in particular is very much a sense in place of community, right?
Yes.
Do both of you agree with that?
That is a huge part of it. Yes.
Yeah.
It's not the only part, but
it is not the only part.
It is a huge part.
But this is evidenced by the number of people who say, I'm going to WWDC this year. And the follow-up question is always, do you have a badge? No, I don't have a ticket to WWDC, but I'm totally going.
So with that in mind, another important part of it is that sort of face-to-face meeting with Apple's engineers. Mm-hmm. That's important to the people who actually do get those tickets. But now let's look at it. So from that perspective, there is a tremendous amount of value to Apple Incorporated, to Apple, the profit-making machine, to providing this place where people can get together and have that sense of community. Right. I mean, like mm-hmm. the sense of community within WWDC is even more so than the sense of community that those of us who went to Macworld had. Mm-hmm. And except for the WWDC, sense of community is probably more important to Apple because it's developers. Right. Yeah. So now let's look at what they're saying in this press release. This press release emphasizes our community of 23 million developers. Right. So Apple is clearly planning on a good chunk of people being able to attend virtually.
Well, and let's point out part of why they can do that, because I believe it says that it's free for all developers.
Well, it would have to be. Yeah. And so think about the bandwidth that Apple has been arranging for the last several weeks. The internet bandwidth, like the special accommodations that Apple is having to put into place to make sure that they can meet that kind of demand, and the server capacity that they're having to put together. Of course, I mean, Apple can do this. They've got they've got a little money, right? This is something that they can do, but this is going to be a sort of unprecedented kind of thing. And the way Apple talks about it, I think there's a good chance that this is going to be a preview of what 2021 is going to look like, and maybe 2022, and maybe from here on out.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I'm curious, why is this from the bandwidth perspective, why is this any different than last year or any Apple event that they do? Right. I mean, they're streaming, or for that matter, every Apple TV Plus show that we watch, which
that's true. I have no evidence for any of this, but my gut feeling is that there's simply going to be more people tuning in to these things at simultaneous times as it's happening than Apple has had.
Maybe longer term. I mean, before. Certainly keynotes have been watched by millions at once.
That's broadcasting, right? That's Apple out to the world. And what we don't know is the level of interactivity that we're going to have with this. Like, are we going to, this was the question I had when we did when we talked about this in the first place, when Apple said, yeah, Dub's online this year, and we got that announcement. My first question was, everyone I know who has ever said it was 100% worth getting the ticket a WWDC attendee badge. It has been for the face-to-face conversations with Apple engineers. So how are they going to do that? Because that's the thing a lot of people say they're actually there for. They're like, I could stay home and watch the videos, which is fine and free to all developers. But the thing that I need is to talk to this person about this piece of technology or the education team about something. And so I'm very curious what that piece of it is going to look like, if they're still going to be able to give people that the opportunity to spend time chatting with Apple engineers about stuff, or if there's going to be Q&A at the end of a session or something. That would be where I could see, Brian, that your bandwidth theory is coming into play. Because you need it the other direction as well.
Yeah. There may be nothing to the bandwidth issue at all, but to me that seemed like an issue. That remains to be seen. I bet you we end up getting some kind of lottery for tickets for questions.
Oh, I bet.
As we get closer to the event, I bet we end up getting that. I have no evidence of that. I have no insider information, nothing like that. But that question time, as Kelly said, that question time has been a very important part of it. I don't think Apple's going to want to ditch that. At the same time, having the excuse to have a fully controlled environment where no one gets to ask questions, that does feel rather Apple-like, doesn't it?
Well, it's certainly Apple of old, yes. Yeah. And it may well be Apple of today. Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, certainly the questions are... I don't know how this would work, because in person there's no audience for the answer to your question other than you,
right?
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, it could be your development partner from your company or whatever, right? But it's not happening in front of a room of 100 people or certainly not online. Mm-hmm. So those conversations are very free flowing, I will say.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. I've had a few of them over the years where, you know, we've noticed some problems, mostly with the Safari team. No great surprise. We do stuff on the web and you know, it's like you get there and it's like, oh, wait, what did you just tell us? Oh, Tim, this is your bug, you know, and little Tim comes over and he's like, wait, you can recreate this? I'm like, yeah. And then, you know, you sit down with Tim and he literally recompiles Safari in front of you while he's testing out different mm-hmm. solutions to the bug. And then goes on some prattling rant about how, wow, great. Well, we fixed it. So, you know, it'll be 6 months before you see this, because they don't let me commit my changes to, you know, the next release. It has to go through a whole QA process.
Right.
Yeah, of course. Right.
But like that rambling rant is very uncharacteristic of the public Apple that they craft, the Apple mm-hmm. image that they craft, right? It's no great surprise. I mean, this is an engineer working at a company and
yep.
there's red tape and they don't like that. They're engineers. They want to get things fixed. It's like, it all yes. makes sense in the moment. It doesn't feel like you're exposed to some level of dirt or mm-hmm. anything. It's just like, okay, yeah, I get it. No problem. You know?
Yeah. The word I've heard for that is candid. You can have a candid right. conversation with an Apple engineer. And most people I know are happy about it. Like, did he say right. what I wanted him to say? Did she tell me that the answer to my question is just check the box that says don't do that? No. Right. But we were able to have a conversation and now I have a better idea of what's going on. I understand the rest, you know, the context, which I didn't have before. Yeah. And I'm good with that. Like, I feel a lot better about the experience that I'm having, even if the experience I'm having isn't all that great, because now I have some context around it. And right. that's been one thing that I've heard people pretty consistently say about that conversation that they get to have, because that's like the one shot you get to talk to a person at Apple about that, so aside from that, filing a radar and hope.
At WWDC online. And I don't think it is. Like, I don't think they're going to carve out time. Like, so, but maybe. And if they did, certainly, Brian, you're right. It would be a weighted lottery. And by mm-hmm. waiting, a weighted lottery.
Yeah.
We would never see the waiting happen.
We would never see that. Right. There's another option, too, though. And that would be submit your questions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Submit your questions and then, you know, and they'll obviously pick through the ones that they want to answer.
Well, sure.
Well, that's the problem with that, isn't it?
Kind of yeah, always how that works. Is, yeah.
Yeah. And there's another trade-off here, too, that is good. I talked about the sense of community, right? We talked about this mm-hmm. important thing, but we're still talking about a relatively small, not a relative, a very small subset of Apple's developer community. The benefit here is that Apple can reach, if differently, all the developers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Up to all of the developers.
Right. Oh, no, there's opportunity. Like I said, I'm excited about the opportunities. It's not perfect. And I think we just identified two places where it's not. That personal interaction with Apple engineers being one, and the community of people that get together, not just in the convention center, but in the city surrounding the convention center for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm going to iterate that does have utility value to Apple. And I think that Apple recognizes that. And the reason why I say that is because Apple has embraced the sort of alt conf aspect.
Yep.
And
Apple has made sure that many of the ancillary but not Apple branded events are able to continue happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even promoted them to a certain extent.
They've promoted them on their website. Yeah. They have made sure that they're financially solvent in ways that they need to be, like all of that stuff, which makes perfect sense because mm-hmm. Apple knows that they cannot, it for what Apple offers, they cannot accommodate more than, you know, whatever that 5,000 or 6,000 people number is. Yeah. And they don't do this to make money. So they don't need to sell two tiers of tickets. It's fine. If you have a ticket, you can come to our sessions. If you don't have a ticket, do everything else that's happening in town that week. Absolutely. Come. And if you see value in that, please come. We see value in you seeing value in that. Yeah. And we're willing to promote these things and make sure that they still happen and all of that.
Yeah, right.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yep. And to kind of close up the loop on this too, the way they talk about this in this press release, I suppose you could read it in a couple of different ways. One way would be, you know, making your lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. The hand of lemons that we've all been given. but the other way could be, you know, like, you know, we're trying out some things here and don't be surprised if we do it again from here on out.
Right.
I could see it going that way. I don't know that it will, but I could see it going that way. Or maybe we'll even get a hybrid, right? Maybe Apple will start, maybe like 2021 or maybe 2022 will be the in-person meeting stuff, the in-person event, the physical event where there is a lot more outreach mm-hmm. online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope that whatever happens this year persists, whatever happens that works out persists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. The good parts of what they do this good year. Parts. I do too, yeah. Because that's the thing that we've talked about before, particularly with WWDC, is that, you know, physically you can only get so many people in a space. Remember those conversations? You can only jam so many people all together, right? Yes, this used to be a thing. Ask your parents. And part of that, part of that conversation was sort of like, this is at capacity and it's nowhere near everybody. And what sorts of things could Apple do to kind of expand on that? And I think this is going to be a really interesting way to see. I think this year we're going to get a peek at the future of DubDub. I think it was going to have to evolve one way or another. And I think Apple's hand was just forced this year.
Yeah.
So. I think that's where we are. If you have strong opinions about this, if you're a person who really likes going to San Jose and occasionally waving at Brian as he walks by in his magnificent hat, you can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Thanks both of you for being here today. I love having a conversation with you guys. We need to do this again soon. Brian, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Good times.
Dave, as always, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good stuff.
This was a lot of fun. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.